This morning, we will learn from the parable, from one of Jesus' parables. So I wait for everyone to take a seat. So we are going to read from Luke chapter 18, verse 1 to 8. The parable of the persistent widow. And he told them a parable. Jesus told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. He said, in certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, give me justice against my adversary. For a while he refused, but afterward he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keep bothering me, I will give her justice, so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge say. And will not God give justice to his elect, who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, Jesus tells us, he will give justice to them speedily. Speedily. Remember this word? Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? This is a parable of the persistent widow. The widow was pure, was poor, no money, and the husband left her alone. She was vulnerable, and she was very lonely. And another thing, some of the wicked family member or a friend of her husband tried to take advantage of her. And this case is uncommon. In ancient times, women had few legal rights. As a woman or widow, they had little rights before the law. That is very common in ancient times. And Jesus said, there was a judge in the widow city. He was an unrighteous or evil judge or wicked judge. In those days, law decrees can be purchased. And bad judges could make a good living from the bribe they get from the people. This judge neither feared God nor cared about people. He had become judge for his own gain. He had no desire to serve people, nor had passion for justice. The widow had multiple adversaries. She was poor, she was lonely, she was betrayed by a wicked man or family member, we didn't know exactly, and he was bullied by the judge. So in our life today, every one of us is not immune to the problem. Every one of us has our own problem. But in God's economy, though problems are inevitable, unavoidable, as long as we take our breath in this earth, we invite problem into our life. So, but Jesus teach us our response are optional. Problems are inevitable, but our responses are optional. Maybe some of us, we experience relational problem with our parents, problem with our children, problem with our spouse, problem with our friend, with our boss, with our colleagues. Maybe some of us, we are in the crossroad, whether we stay here or we going back to our own country. And if we stay here, it seems very difficult to get the permanent residence. So we are uncertain about our future. Maybe some of us, we are still waiting for God's answer in our life. Maybe some of us, we are so lonely and we pray to God, God, give me a company. But it seems nothing turned out. Some of us maybe struggle with sickness, with depression, with addiction. Our parents struggle for years with sickness. And some may struggle with different problems. It seems that God is absent in our struggle. The more we struggle to find Him, the further away our God seems. Through this parable, Jesus teaches us that the secret lies with Him. The secret lies in our inner life. The secret lies not on the external circumstances, but in our heart. If our inner orientation, according to the truth of God, that gives us victory to rise above our circumstances. Around 20 or 30 years ago, I can't remember. I can't remember when I finished university. I found out that my father was diagnosed with cancer, lymphoma cancer. And while my father was in hospital, got the treatment, my mom found out a lump in her breast, and she got breast cancer. And I was in the middle to do my study in Indonesia. So at that time, I prayed to God. But today, I'm very grateful that I not give up on God, because until today, I can prove that He is faithful and He answers our prayer. And through this parable, Jesus teaches us why we pray, not how we pray. I repeat again. Through this parable, Jesus teaches us why we pray and not how we pray. Jesus told this parable to contrast the wicked judge to Him, not to compare the wicked judge to Him. To contrast, is God a wicked judge? Of course not. Does He have to be bothered before He will answer our prayers? Not at all. Now I want to contrast for some of you, you are new here, contrast between our God and the wicked judge. Can we have the slide, please? The contrast between God and the wicked judge. The widow appealed to unjust judge or evil judge, while we have a righteous and loving father. The widow appealed to the wicked judge, to the unrighteous judge, but we have a righteous and loving father. Romans chapter 8, verse 32, it says, He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him for us all, how will He not also with Him graciously give us all things? When our Father in heaven did not spare His only Son to save us, why He would hold anything from us? He gave us everything. Psalm 86, verse 7, in the day of my trouble, I call upon You, for You answer me. The point number two, contrast between God and the wicked judge, the widow was appealing as a stranger to the judge. But we, as God's people, we are appealing to him as his beloved elect. First Peter chapter 2, verse 9, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people of his own possession. God called us as his own possession. We appeal to him as his beloved possession. And the widow plead her own case, but we have Christ who is interceding for us. The widow pleaded her own case, but we have Christ who sit on the right hand of God and intercede for us day and night. Romans chapter 8, verse 34. Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who intercede, who indeed is interceding for us. When we struggle, we are not struggling by our own, but Jesus intercede for us. The widow had no promise of an answer, but we have abundant promises given to us. Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3. Remember, it's easy to remember. Jeremiah 3:3:3. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, you will receive, that your joy may be. I read it wrong. Call to me, and I will answer you, and will tell you great and hidden things that you have not known. If we pray, he is faithful. He will tell his secret with us, because our God is a loving God. The widow's asking provoked the judge, but our asking delight our God. John chapter 16, the widow's asking provoked the judge, but our asking delights our God. John 16, verse 24, until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. The last point, the widow had limited access to the judge, but we can pray to God anytime, and we have unlimited access to our God. Psalm chapter 55, verse 17, David say, evening and morning and noon, I utter my complaint and moan, and he hear my voice. Morning, afternoon, and night, he always be here for us. He never forsake us. First Peter chapter 5, verse 7, Peter says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Jesus tried to contrast between God and the wicked judge, not to compare him with the wicked judge. And that's why this parable teaches us why we pray, not how we pray. Why we pray? Because he is delighting to answer our prayer. The emphasis of the parable is rooted in the God who cares. Why should we keep praying? Because God cares for us and delight to answer our prayers. God is faithful, unlike the unjust judge. The widow faced a multiple adversary, but Jesus' message, be persistent and never give up on him. The widow had no money to bribe the judge because it says, Jesus said, she was poor. And her only alternative was keep nagging, begging, or the Bible say, bothering. Bothering in Hebrew word, that means to poke in the eyes. So that make the judge feel very painful because of her persistency. Day after day, she would appear before him crying, sir, help me. Give me justice. Every day, whenever she meet the judge, I can imagine he will wait for the judge in front of his office. Maybe she would find out where the judge live and wait in front of the judge's house. When the judge leave the office, she cry again, sir, help me, give me protection. And maybe in front of the judge's friend, in the marketplace, in the street, because the judge did not care about people, he cared for himself. At first, when the judge, because the judge is, the Bible say, the judge is a judge who like to be bribed. At first, the judge may be very excited, because he had learned in every situation when the people cry very loud and intense, he might get more money for the justice. But when he knew that widow was poor, the wicked judge straight away reject this widow. Jesus said, the poor widow did not give up. She pleaded him day and night. She was very persistent. The judge didn't want to help her, but he couldn't also ignore her. He said she kept bothering him. When the judge finally realized that she was not going to give up, this widow was not going to give up, he helped her and gave her justice or protection. Jesus was telling us this this parable to encourage us that at all time we ought to pray and never lose heart, never give up, be persistent, because he is faithful. And at the end of this parable, I was when I meditate these verses, I was surprised at the end of this parable what Jesus said. Jesus point out in a question. At the end of the parable comes the surprising twist to the whole parable. This is Jesus' primary point, and he made it in a very interesting question. And he asked, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on this earth? When we just go through this parable, maybe we did not realize what is the connection between persistence and faith. I change this question again. When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Or I change the question, will there be anyone left who trusts in God, who does not give up on him? When we read the news or hear the news, there are some well-known songwriter, worship leader, he gave up his faith and he denied his faith. There are a pastor, a well-known pastor, a writer, and he gave up on God. and announced in the Instagram that he denied Jesus. Or another question. Will there be anyone who trusts God and hold on to his purpose for his life until his last day on earth, in spite of very difficult circumstances, in spite of how he feels? That is another question. In spite of any difficult circumstances, or how we feel about God, about people, can we still believe in our God? Jesus tried to remind us that faith is not a feeling. Let us remember, faith is not a feeling. Hebrews 11 verse 1 says, "Now faith is the confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see." That is faith, confident. We haven't seen it, we haven't experienced it, but we have faith. That means we confident and we trust God for it. Faith is not a feeling, but faith is believing that God will do what he said in spite how we feel. Have you ever been disappointed by God? I think many of us, at some season in our life, we might be disappointed by God. Have you ever asked God for something and not received an answer? Then we start nagging, we start angry, we complain, but there is still nothing. At this point, most of us will give up. We quit praying, and I say, this is a big mistake. Why? We are living in a time when people are being encouraged to release their emotion and to grant their own emotion even greater power in ruling their destiny. We are told, if you feel good, do it. If you feel good, do it. Since we are in prep, so when we look at the media, at the TV, the message is, if you feel right, do it. Emotional experience has become the primary motivation of value and action, and even our spiritual belief. My question is, what role do emotion play in your life? What role do emotion play in your life? Is it likely that what you feel, whether right or wrong, is the force in determining your behavior day by day? My question is your feeling determine your action day by day? Our mind is now dominated or controlled by our feeling, rather the reverse as God intended. Many of us is driven by our feeling in our behavior or action. When you look at our body, our brain, our mind is the battlefield, because the enemy try to affect us, to lie, to give lie to us through our mind, to our brain. If our mind are affected by the lies that the enemy try to say to us, the lies then this lie will affect our emotion. And our emotion then drive our action. How many of us as Christian, with our action has been driven by our emotion? If I like to come to church, I come. If I don't like it, I continue sleeping. If I like to meet my friend, okay, I talk to her, I greet her. If I don't like it, I just ignore her. Every action in our life controlled by our emotion. A lot of us, we cannot obey God because of our emotion, because of our feeling, and this has become the stronghold in our life. So we cannot listen to God's voice if we listen to our emotion. I repeat again, if we listen to our emotion, we cannot listen to God's voice. For young people, if you are in love with someone and you pray, you won't listen to God's voice. Even God say no, you will say, God say yes. Because emotion try to lie to us. Emotion, we cannot trust our emotion. Jim Dobson, Dr. Jim Dobson is a psychologist, Christian psychologist, and there I have a small book and very, very old book. He said, can we trust our emotion? We cannot trust our emotion. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, it says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. In order for us to walk by faith, we have to conquer our feeling. We have to conquer our feeling. We cannot live in our feeling and please God. Cannot. And most of all, emotion are not connected. Our emotion are not connected to the reality, especially for the depressed person. For the depressed person, she will always anxious. She might think, if I got cancer, how can I survive? If I die and my husband married again, how can my children be survive? Who take care of my children? The worry is not connected to the reality because we still healthy, but our mind is wandering and the enemy try to put a lie in our mind. So that's why we are worried. One time, Prophet Isaiah, when he had killed 400 false prophets, he was very anxious because he thought he might be killed, and he had a suicidal thought. He asked God to end his life, but it was not true. We cannot trust our feeling, and our feeling make us misinterpret the reality. Our feeling make us misinterpret the reality. Our feeling cause us to act against God's word. Many times, our feeling make us misinterpret God's word. Many people quit their jobs because of their feeling. Many people end their life because of their feeling. Or maybe if you heard at the news in America, there are a lot of people before he died, he killed some people because of their feeling. And maybe some of us, we will leave our wife or husband, or we will end our marriage just because of our feeling. When we look at the Bible, throughout the Bible, every action people did based on their emotion, they have to deal with the consequence. When Adam and Eve saw that fruit looked good, and they feel good, and they ate the fruit, they faced the consequence. They were driven by God from the Eden. When Cain was angry and jealous to his brother Abel, and he killed his brother, he faced the consequence. He became a wanderer on the earth. And David, when David saw Bathsheba, the lust arose. And he asked Bathsheba to sleep with him. And he arranged to kill Bathsheba's husband. And David has to face the consequences. David in Psalm 77, verse 7 to 9. David experienced multiple adversary in his life. And he said to God, or asked God, will the Lord reject forever? Will he never show his favor again? Has his unfailing love vanished forever? Has his promise failed for all time? Has God forgotten to be merciful? Has he, in anger, withheld his compassion? David asked the fundamental question. Maybe some of us, we still ask the same question to God. But if we continue reading Psalm 77, David was meditating on all God's work. He had realized in verse 12 that God can be trusted. And verse 13, he said, what God is as great as our God? We have to remember what God is as great as our God. The Bible teaches us to train our emotion. Our mere emotion is not the truth. The truth is God's word. As Christian, we try to live by God's word, not by our emotion. We have to give up our emotion when we want to love God and follow God. The Bible teaches us to train our emotion. Romans chapter 6, verse 17. But thanks be to God, that you who were once slave of sin have become obedient for the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed. The Bible teaches us we have to obey not from our emotion, but we have to obey God from our heart. If we obey God from our heart, we have the truth of God. When we walk with God and the Holy Spirit walk with us, the fruit of the Spirit will control our life. Even the circumstance say, it doesn't make sense. Even our feelings say, I could not continue to live like this. Maybe my business is cheated by someone. Maybe my husband or my wife has been cheated on me. Maybe my parent wouldn't listen to me. My parent is going to divorce. Or maybe there is some problem. I wait for God for the answer. I pray and I live obedient to God, but still no answer. If we walk with God, God promised His Holy Spirit will be work in us, and we produce the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5, chapter 5, verse 22. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, and peace. Even the circumstances, I cannot be happy because I lose my money, because my relationship break, because I bullied by someone, because I'm lonely, but God can give you love, joy, and peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, patience, gentleness, and self-control. Some of us may say, I don't have strength to carry on. But God says, we don't need strength. We need faith in the faithfulness of God. Again, we need faith in the faithfulness of God. We don't need strength. We need faith. Faith makes us feel joy, peace, and love because of our hope in God's promise, in spite of how we feel about our circumstances. The widow's parable was told to remind us God is faithful. To contrast, God is not a wicked judge. He is delighting to answer our prayer because we are His chosen people. Luke chapter 11, verse 13, it says, if you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? Our God is the God of how much more. That's why never give up. Keep praying. Keep praying. I invite the worship leader and the team to come up. My conclusion. Jesus teach us to be persistent, to keep praying and not lose heart. Don't ever leave to listen to our emotion only, but live by the word of God. Live by the truth so we can sustain our faith until we die. Many the depression we have when we learn in psychology, the depression, there are two states of depression, the high emotion and the low of the emotion. But recently, the low emotion has dominated many people. That's why many people kill himself or herself because of the low emotion. And the enemy try to lie to us in our mind. That's better you end your life. My conclusion is trust God because He knows best and He will answer with our best interest. Sometimes we have to wait for God's answer because He's doing something in our heart, in our life. He shaped our character. He tried to grow our trust in Him, our faith in Him. And He tried to acknowledge us. Without Him, we are nothing. We cannot control our own life. And be persistent in our prayer. It took some time, 2 years. Sometimes 2 months, 2 days, we got the answer. But sometimes it took years that God answered our prayer. It took me sometimes 6 years, 7 years, 8 years. But I can testify that He is faithful and He answered all of our prayer. And my last point, don't make decision or act based on our emotion, because we have to walk by faith and not by sight. Do not listen to God with only your feeling. You will miss the point. And God bless you.
Church, can I please invite you all to stand once more?
Father, I pray that each one of us here, we have faith until our last breath on this earth. We can experience your faithfulness day by day. And I pray for every one of us that we can control our emotion, we can control our feeling, and we not do anything based on our emotion, but based on your truth. Pray for everyone who are in the crossroad, who struggling to get the answer of God, get the answer of their prayer. I pray that they are persistent. They feel your love and your encouragement this morning. I pray for the blessing. The Lord will keep you and bless you. The Lord will make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face. The Lord turn to watch you and give you peace this morning and the following day. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen. And God bless you.